Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello there, welcome to a brand new Arsblog Arscast right here on arsblog.com. How are you? Hope you're well. It's a little bit different. The podcast schedule is different, obviously, because we played in the Europa League last night. We beat Cologne 3-1, but that in itself wasn't the big story. What happened before the game, inside the stadium, outside the stadium, during the game, with fans, with tickets, with stewarding, with policing. Well, that was unusual, to say the least. It's been a very long time since we've seen scenes like that at Arsenal, and I don't think we've ever seen anything like it in the Emirates era. So we're going to try and examine it from the various viewpoints, from Arsenal fans' point of view, from the Cologne point of view, from people who are inside the stadium and outside the stadium. And we'll touch on a bit of the football as well, because obviously it was a good win in the end, a 3-1 win, a bad first half, but a good second half. Some good goals and some positives to take from that. And obviously there's a game against Chelsea coming up this weekend, and we'll try and touch on that one as well. But look, I'm going to keep waffle to an absolute minimum here. I've got three guests to get through between now and the end of the show, and I'm going to start with James, who joins me every Monday, of course, for the Arscast Extra. He was there last night. You might have seen some of his videos from inside the ground not long before the actual scheduled kickoff was due to take place, and the ground was completely empty. It was all a bit eerie. And he saw what went on from a first-hand point of view. Good morning, James.
Good morning.
In the cold light of day, how do you view what went on last night in terms of, just in terms of what happened, let's say, inside the ground, leaving aside what happened outside and everything else? What was your overall feeling on how it went inside the ground from somebody who was a little bit detached from it? You're in the press box, but from an Arsenal fan's point of view?
Well, it was a sharp sort of antithesis to the stale environment we've experienced in the Champions League in recent years. You know, fans turning up to go through the motions of group games. It was a surreal experience to see all these Cologne fans descend on the ground and sort of, I guess, their sheer enthusiasm for the fixture. We haven't seen that in a group stage game for a long time. In terms of the safety element, before the game, I was pretty concerned because I was watching Cologne fans kind of hurdling into the away end from the home end. I was watching stewards be overpowered, and I was thinking, I don't know if this is going to go ahead. Once it did, you have to say, with the exception of a couple of flares, which we've seen on European nights at Arsenal before, it was actually pretty well managed and pretty well behaved. And as far as I can gather, there was no real trouble in the immediate aftermath of the game too. I think a few of the pubs around the ground closed to kind of help lock that down. So, as Arsene Wenger put it in his press conference, if there's no trouble after the game, I guess it was the right decision. I think it, a bit like the game itself, we kind of got away with it.
Yeah, I mean, that was something I spoke to Amy Lawrence before I spoke to you, and she used the word luck quite a few times. And I think there was an element of luck, and there was an element of, well, this is the best worst scenario that we have, because had they decided, let's say, to call the game off, all of a sudden you've got lots of unhappy Arsenal fans. There were obviously some very unhappy Arsenal fans anyway, because the tickets that they bought, there were Cologne fans in their seat. The family enclosure was taken over. Lots of people with kids decided that this was not an environment in which they felt safe for their kids, even if things passed off more or less peacefully throughout. But you can completely understand why they wouldn't want to see that. But had they decided to call it off, and all of a sudden you've got lots of angry Arsenal fans because the game's not on, lots of unhappy Cologne fans because the game's not on, the potential for it to spark even further, I think, was there. And under the circumstances, it seemed like the best option.
Yes, I think it probably was. I think, how do you disperse that many people if the problem is the sheer size of the crowd that's assembled? I think dispersing it is arguably as difficult, especially when they're all pretty pissed off that they've flown so far to come and see a game that you've cancelled. Leaving aside, of course, the scheduling problems it would have given both clubs in terms of trying to replay the fixture another time, I think that was another big factor in the discussions about how to actually proceed. But I do understand the Arsenal fans, and especially if you have kids. I think, you know, rightly or wrongly, top football clubs are a family environment now. I think rightly, you know, I think that you should be able to bring your kids to the game, and I can understand that that would have been a pretty intimidating scenario and a pretty inconvenient one, just in terms of the delayed kickoff time. I think a lot of parents with kids probably thought, look, if I bring my kid to this, I'm not going to get home till such and such a time. I think a lot of people probably turned away. It was interesting around us, around the media sort of area, there were Cologne fans kind of dispersed, like dotted here and there. And it was interesting watching the different reactions of some Arsenal fans. You know, some were pretty content to let them be. Others were kind of demanding their removal. Stewards did actually take a few out during the course of the game, but it was a protracted process. It took a long time. It took about six stewards to remove each Cologne fan. So it didn't happen very quickly. One thing I've found interesting this morning is I've seen the club kind of saying, you know, a lot of these tickets were sold by touts. And that's probably true. But looking at the way in which it was kind of coordinated, how so many of the Cologne fans seem to be concentrated in the Clock End in some way, shape or form, I think there must have been a bit more to it than that. I do wonder, you know, how many of these Cologne fans picked up memberships and were able to acquire tickets that way, because it just seems almost too coincidental for them to be concentrated in one area.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be fair to the club, they released a statement this morning saying that no memberships that were sold after, or no memberships given after the draw, were able to buy tickets for that particular game. Yeah, that's what they've said this morning. So there were no tickets on general sale either. So I think there's obviously an awareness of where the away fans are going to be in the stadium. And obviously you get your ticket where you can get your ticket. I think there are big issues to sort out in terms of touting. And that's, you know, the people that are on the streets before the games, but also the online touts, the people that sell tickets through these semi-legitimate ticket websites, etc., etc. You know, that's a way through which people are getting tickets, and obviously a way through which some Arsenal fans are dispensing their tickets as well. I think what stood out, right, was the fact that this was so far removed from anybody's modern experience of football. Because it has become, whether you want to call it sanitized or not, and it's clearly very different from what it used to be. It's safer, it's more family friendly, as you say, and away fans are here, the vast majority of the home fans surround them, and that's kind of it. But it was so far removed from anything anybody has ever experienced, particularly at the Emirates. There's never been a situation like this before, that I guess it was so unusual that it was almost impossible not to think the worst of what might happen. In the end, with a bit of luck and with a bit of, I guess, sensible management of the situation, because we make the point that, you know, had it been Arsenal fans abroad acting that way, I think the truncheons and everything else would have been out much more quickly. So there's some credit due in that regard too.
I think so, and I think you're right. I think it was shocking. The thing is about that word, it has such a sort of pejorative tint to it. When people hear the word shocking, they're like, oh, it must be bad. I think it was just such a surprise to see that descend on the Emirates. And I said in one of my videos that it felt like an invasion, and it really did. It really recoloured the whole night, the whole atmosphere. Well, the colour was the same, red and white, thankfully. But apart from that, and it actually, as English fans, as Arsenal fans, it's actually quite difficult to interpret it, I think, because it is just such a different culture of support that exists in Germany at the moment. And it feels so alien. It feels so alien that we are inherently suspicious of it. And I do think that it shouldn't be overlooked that, however brilliant an atmosphere Cologne brought, and they did, and I have to give a big credit to their fans, you know, the support they show in terms of singing throughout the game and things like that is amazing. I do think, along with that, they did bring certain security concerns, certain risks. You know, I don't think they respected the stadium as perhaps they much perhaps as much as they should have done, and I don't think that can be overlooked at all. And I think Arsenal will have to sort of, you know, consider how they're going to deal with problems like this in the future. But I think as well, I think our fans do deserve some credit. You know, I know we're a very civilized bunch for the most part, but the Arsenal fans behaved pretty impeccably on the night, and there was very little disgruntlement about, you know, the hour delay, about crowds being held back. And I think, you know, in all the talk about the Cologne fans, I think the Arsenal fans probably deserve a pat on the back for helping the night to go as smoothly as possible in the circumstances.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right there, to be honest. You know, it is being overlooked the way that, you know, in the end, it was the Arsenal fans who were inconvenienced by this. And I think you can make a really good case for a game like this where you could say, well, look, the interest from Arsenal fans is not as big as it is for a Champions League game, etc., etc. There's huge interest from Cologne. Let's give them a bigger allocation. Let's make that better atmosphere. Because I think for the most part, the majority of those Cologne fans were there to have a good time, to try and get into a big, big game for them. There's always going to be an element who will cause a little bit of trouble, but I think that's why they were there. And I think what the club have got to do, the club, UEFA, everybody has to look at this and say, how can we enable it? How can we enable a better atmosphere at these games by giving a bigger allocation, by allowing more tickets to be sold to away fans? And on the flip side of that, they have to do likewise for Arsenal fans, perhaps, who want to travel abroad and who want to create that kind of an atmosphere when they go to away games too. I mean, I think there are lessons to be learned here, you know, when it comes to the management of football fans, that in some ways they are treated like cattle. And nothing better than that. And that's, you know, in England, it's abroad. And I think fans deserve a little bit better than that. And as we saw last night, Arsenal fans deserve credit for not reacting in a negative way, because it really could have happened that way had there been a bit more aggression.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more about maybe increasing the allocation. I think it was 3,000 tickets they were actually permitted, Cologne. But I have to say, as an Arsenal fan, I love, you know, when we have the domestic cup games and we give a team kind of, you know, that whole lower tier area behind the goal, it always creates a really cracking atmosphere. And while I'm not up for Arsenal fans necessarily losing their seats, if Arsenal fans want to be in the ground, fantastic. But we could have afforded to give Cologne a bigger allocation last night. I don't think we would have sold our Arsenal allocation, or we would have sold it, but it wouldn't necessarily have been full. And yeah, I would be in favour of that, because, you know, what you have to say, almost as a side note, is that what it did create last night was an extraordinary spectacle. And I'm sure a lot of people who probably even aren't Arsenal fans or Cologne fans tuned in on television because they wanted to see that atmosphere. And that's something that UEFA and clubs will certainly be interested in if they're trying to raise the prestige of this competition.
Yeah, all right. Well, look, we'll see what plays out and how it plays out over the coming days, and what they might put in place for games in the future. But look, we'll leave you there, and we'll chat on Monday after the Chelsea game on Sunday. How are you feeling about that? And just very quickly, on the back of what was a good second half performance from Arsenal, you know, is that a positive we can take into this one? Is there something we can learn from that second half?
I mean, I'm fascinated by the whole formation issue. That was my big takeout from the game. You know, Arsene Wenger switched to a back four again against Cologne. I just think, is he getting close to ditching it? And for me, it's become less about if we need three central defenders and more about if we need three central midfielders. For me, that's kind of the situation, you know.
I agree with that entirely. I think the midfield situation is the key one that we have to address. And you know, going back to a back four so early in that game, it wasn't like the last 20 minutes. It was a halftime change. It was a very deliberate change, and it worked, and it was a positive change. So I do wonder if that's the way we're going to go. But look, we'll chat about that and everything else that happens at Stamford Bridge on Sunday, on Monday morning. Until then, see you later.
Bye-bye.
Okay, to get the other perspective on what happened last night in terms of the Cologne fans, I'm delighted to welcome to the podcast Archie Rind-Tutt, who's a journalist. He lives in Cologne. He spoke to Cologne fans last night. He's on a train right now back to Cologne, I believe. Archie, how are you?
Hi, Andrew. Yes, I am indeed. Just slowly making my way back, and I've already seen a few Cologne fans who look slightly worse for wear from the whole London affair, shall we say, in terms of alcohol-related. But yes, just slowly plowing back towards Cologne now.
Okay, well, that's not uncommon among football fans after an away trip to a European game. But I think what I want to get a hold of is you wrote a really good thread on Twitter about what happened last night. And from a Cologne point of view, can you explain to us how big a game this was? Because Arsenal fans are used to being in Europe. There was, or has been over the last number of years, a sort of growing indifference to the Champions League in the group stages, at least. It's sort of been there, done that, worn the T-shirt over and over again. And certainly with the Europa League as well, it feels like a step down, and some people are even more indifferent to what's going on the European stage this season. But for Cologne fans, this was a big, big deal. Can you explain to us exactly why?
Yes, the word indifference has not been used in Cologne in the last few months, particularly not when it comes to FC, as they are known. In the city, just because it's been 25 years, it's been well publicised since they last qualified for the UEFA Cup, as it was then, the Europa League, as it is now. And fans have really had to put up with some tough times for what is a big club, a club that had and was competing for the Bundesliga earlier in its in terms of the 70s and the 80s. It won the first Bundesliga in the 60s.
Mm.
So as a result, there is that weight of tradition that weighs heavy upon them. And so finally, for a group of players to be able to release that and to relieve that was huge. I really can't put too fine a point on how big a deal it was that they did qualify. The fact that there were thousands of fans invading the pitch when they did do it against Mainz in the summer, and also coming 5 years after their fifth relegation in the space of, I think, 20 years it's been, even if you count up to now. So I think that whole impact, they are a unbelievably committed support. It is a one-horse town in terms of Cologne as a place. So no surprise at all that so many travelled. And to be honest, Andrew, I expected more to travel, such has been the interest in Cologne.
Wow. Wow. I mean, there was obviously far more fans there than had tickets. That was apparent from very early on in the day.
I'm not totally sure how many more fans there were than tickets. And there's been a lot said in terms of how many I've seen it written that 20,000 fans kind of all headed to the Emirates. I don't think that's true. Mm. I think that you just had a hell of a lot of Cologne fans who went there but had tickets through Arsenal fans who they had bought over the internet.
It was not
20,000 fans for me that were all going and trying to storm that,
sure,
that away block.
Okay, yeah, that's the difference. What I meant is that there were more Cologne fans there than had tickets allocated to Cologne fans. I don't mean that there were so many ticketless fans. Clearly, they did get tickets in the Arsenal end, and that was an issue. I mean, from speaking to those fans, do you think they were prepared for the reaction that this situation created? Because it's not something that we ever see, really, in English football anymore. It's certainly not something that's been seen at the Emirates Stadium before. There is very strict segregation, as we know, in English football. Away fans are corralled into their section, and that's the be-all and end-all of it. I mean, they must have been aware of those rules and regulations to a certain extent, but do you think perhaps that there was an element of surprise as well?
You say to a certain extent there, in terms of the awareness. 100% there was an element of surprise in that they didn't know. For example, there's a guy who I won't name, who I play five-a-side football with in Cologne every week, massive Cologne fan, came over. I was spending some time with him yesterday, and he was stunned about the fact that there is just no culture at all of away fans being in home areas at all. I can recall to you on several occasions when I've been at big games in Germany and in the Bundesliga in the past two seasons, and I've seen, for example, Schalke fans in with the Borussia Dortmund fans, not in the south stand, not in the Südtribüne. Otherwise, yes, I really would be a little bit fearful for them. But I have still, it happens. It is more to, I wouldn't say it is a rugby atmosphere, but it is more towards that in terms of the acceptance of it, at least. So I don't think they were expecting it. And I think I would say that once they did, the ones that I've spoken to, and indeed there were stories of friends as well, who were saying that as soon as they realized that was the case, then they started changing their wallpapers on their phones to avoid detection because they just wanted to go to this game so badly, buying Arsenal scarves as well, leaving their cologne shirts back in the hotel as well. It does, I think, come back to the first point that we're making in terms of how big a game this was. I think Arsenal fans maybe just see it as, okay, I think I'm being broad brushstroke, I don't think it's right to just say Arsenal fans. I think that perhaps some fans may not have realised that this is not like a game for Borussia Dortmund or for Bayern Munich. This is huge. This is a one-off occasion. This was a cup final. You can see that was the case in terms of what they were paying in terms of their ticket prices. That there were Arsenal fans selling tickets which should have cost, or face value would have cost, £17 or £20, and instead they were selling them on for over £100. And Cologne fans were happy to pay that just because this was the moment to see them, to see them just so short after being relegated 5 years ago and the club looking like it was in disarray. To see this was the completion of a fairy tale, even just being there. And I think you could tell that by the spirits that the Cologne fans were in at the end.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about that in your Twitter thread where you say there are fans paying £100 for £20 tickets. From speaking to them, have they explained to you where they got those tickets from or how they got those tickets from other Arsenal fans?
Yes, they did. One website that I've heard mentioned was TicketBiz, that they were telling me that they successfully managed to get tickets through. So that kind of website, that via GoGo-esque way, was the way that Arsenal fans, I think, were doing it. It's quite simple in that regard, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I suppose that there would have been a fair bit of focus, particularly in the stages before the match where it was unclear if it was going to go ahead after the delay was announced, and when the authorities were trying to get a handle on the situation, there was quite a focus on some of the bad behaviour of the Cologne fans. From being in there with them, how widespread was that? And obviously, I know you're predisposed to those fans, and it does seem like it was a small minority all the same.
I think it was a small minority, and I still don't think that excuses the actions of that small minority, particularly in the direction of the stewards and any fans that they did indeed harm. Because, yeah, you and I know, and I think all reasonable things, people thinking that place just has no place anywhere in society, let alone football.
Yeah.
But it was most definitely a minority. As I've said in the thread, there is this hardcore faction of Cologne fans that have been known to get into trouble before, that have stormed the pitch, for example, at Borussia Mönchengladbach after they lost 1-0 in white boiler suits and everything looked rather menacing there, who stormed the pitch after they were relegated in 2012 and this black cloud of smoke was released from the south stand.
Yeah.
But there are people, there is that crossover in terms of it is not as black and white as they just do bad things, because
sure,
because they are also the same people who were making these anti-Nazi kind of protests in terms of earlier this year, in terms of the banners that they hold up. It's just that they feel sometimes, I think, that they can do what they want and be unchallenged in that sense. So it's not quite as black and white, I think, but
yeah,
equally, it's very difficult. I say very difficult. You can't defend what certain people have done last night.
There were some reports that Cologne fans were using Nazi salutes, and I think in some ways it's an easy thing to throw at German football fans, particularly if you want to highlight the trouble that they get into. But as you said, I think my understanding of what the Cologne fans are, they're much more a left-leaning bunch and have been involved in LGBT and anti-racism protests down the years. And certainly when it comes to Nazi salutes, English football fans have had their issues as well. How do you view that, or how would the Cologne fans react if this was the way that they were being portrayed?
Don't think that they would be very happy at all. But I think that it's also, as you say yourself, I think it's a bit dangerous and a little bit too easy in terms of to just say the Cologne fans, because you and I know we watch enough football and you see it in terms of the way that Arsenal is at the moment. Merely saying Arsenal fans does not quite sum up the situation, for example, with how people view Arsene Wenger.
Sure.
That there are loads of different factions here at play. I still find the accusations of Nazi salutes very, very difficult to believe. I really struggle with that, but I don't think that Cologne fans would be particularly happy with that portrayal. But then again, find me a group of right thinking fans who would be happy with that portrayal. Would be my response. So yeah.
Well, look, I mean, I think in the end, despite the troubles and despite the troubles inside the ground, despite the fact that, you know, certain people felt very discommoded by what happened, certainly Arsenal fans who bought tickets and families in particular, I think, with kids who found the situation a little bit difficult to deal with and took the option to leave the ground rather than be exposed to it. When it came right down to it, there was an atmosphere, there was something in there that was quite a positive thing, because the away fans make a lot of noise. The home fans respond to that noise and it creates an atmosphere inside the stadium. Going forward to the reverse fixture between Cologne and Arsenal, is this something perhaps that could open lines of communications between both the clubs as to how to manage what goes on there, but also between the two sets of fans? Because when it came right down to it, there was no real aggro. There was some scuffles, there were some disturbances, but I've seen reports of people saying the Cologne fans were great. They created a good atmosphere for the most part. They were in there to have a good time and to watch their team. And perhaps there are things that both sets of fans can learn from each other.
I would be stunned if Arsenal fans are not coming back from Cologne in November saying how warmly welcomed they were. That is, they just wanted to make friends last night. I saw in a pub a large group of Cologne fans who were all singing a song, and then it was over to the two Arsenal fans who were in the middle of it, which was quite a comical sight, to respond. And they were very much enjoying that. And whenever a German fan was, or whenever a Cologne fan was threatening to speak over them, kind of one of the ringleaders of the singing was hushing them. It was hushing them. It was time to give the Arsenal fans the respect they needed to sing their songs. So from what I saw in that direction, I think that there are already kind of good relations, and the Cologne fans, they don't want any aggro with the Arsenal fans. If we're to speak in broad brushstrokes, that I think that they all just want to really kind of experience this and make the most of playing against Arsenal, because they realise that this is not going to come along every season for them. Mm. So I would expect there to be a very good atmosphere in Cologne, and I don't think that Cologne fans are going to hold anything towards Arsenal fans. The ones who I've talked to, I asked them how was the game, and they're just raving to me about the atmosphere, and they really, really couldn't care less about the result. The result would have been a massive bonus,
yeah.
But they're just kind of delighted to have been to the Emirates to have watched their beloved Cologne playing, because that's not something they would have imagined doing competitively 5 years ago when they're playing Arsenal. In a friendly, so yeah, in that regard, I think they're still basking very much in the gloves, having seen Cologne play in that sort of arena.
All right. Well, I think the thing to do before the Cologne game away is to get Lukas Podolski up on a stage. He can lead the sing song and get everybody in good spirits. Bring him over from Japan.
That would certainly bring the house down in Cologne. It brings the house down any time in Cologne. That man is everywhere. He's plastered across the city, whether it's in murals, whether it's selling chewing gum at the airport. Like, you see his face. Kind of, he is very much face of Cologne. No player comes close to matching him.
All right,
in terms of that status. So I think, yeah, if Prince Poldi, as he is known in the city, was to make a return from Japan, I think that would be that would be met very warmly indeed by the Cologne fans, and I'm sure the Arsenal fans would enjoy it too.
For sure it would be. Listen, we will let you get back to Cologne and recover from, I'm sure, what has been an interesting trip for you. Archie, great to talk to you. Thanks a million.
Thanks, Andrew. Cheers.
Thank you very much indeed to Archie. You can find him on Twitter at ArchieRT1. That's at ArchieRT1. And interesting to get the Cologne perspective on things. We're going to be back with more. I'm going to chat to Amy Lawrence about what went on last night and a quick look ahead to the Chelsea game right after this.
Arsenal Football Club today released a statement condemning Cologne fans for their behaviour before the Pan-European Vase clash at the Emirates Stadium. There was both vexation and shenanigans, leaving home fans aghast. Chairman Sir Chips Keswick said,
"Tickets, anybody? Anybody looking for tickets? Got some spare tickets here, mate? You need a ticket, mate? I've got loads of them. Seriously, loads of tickets. Well above face value. Anybody looking for tickets? Oh, that's terrible. What happened? Absolutely should not happen, and we will investigate thoroughly. You have my word. Look over there."
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Arsenal's first foray into the Europa League was certainly eventful. With me to discuss what happened before the game, during the game, after the game, and a bit of Chelsea as well, I'm delighted to welcome to the show, as always, Amy Lawrence. Hi, Amy.
Hello, Andrew.
Where to even start with that? We knew the Europa League was going to be a bit different, but I don't think anybody was quite expecting what we got last night. The football we might come to in a few minutes' time, but obviously what happened outside the stadium and inside the stadium is the unusual part of a European game last night. There are obviously a lot of conflicting emotions about this one, because on the one hand, it was an absolute shambles that this situation was allowed to develop and that so many Cologne fans were allowed to get into the Arsenal end and into the stadium. On the other hand, it did create this kind of different atmosphere inside the stadium, which very often isn't the place where you would see such an atmosphere. What were your thoughts on it from somebody who was in there and watching it, and what went on?
You touched upon a lot of correct things there. And by saying conflicting emotions, I think that's really important. Also, when you get a crowd of the best part of 60,000 people, however many exactly turned up, you're going to get, and something strange happens, you're going to get a whole range of different emotional responses and reactions. And some people probably had a bit of an experience last night that made them go home feeling a bit shook up or upset or provoked or something negative. And others, I think, came away and thought, wow, that was that was kind of mad, but quite fun and engaged with what you said. Was it was an unusually sort of vibrant, kind of slightly old-fashioned atmosphere from what we're used to in modern English stadia now, that brings into question all sorts of bigger ideas about fan culture and what it's turned into.
I suppose
my main feeling really is just quite glad and relieved that a situation that might have been potentially a whole heap worse ended up being really not an enormous deal. And I think that there is an awful lot of good fortune about that. I think that the first thing is we should consider ourselves lucky that the situation that happened last night occurred with possibly two of the best clubs it could have involved. Arsenal supporters at the Emirates in particular, it's a fairly steady, placid kind of a place in general. So even though some people might have either got upset or had a big inconvenience of not being able to get in properly, not being able to get home, possibly having to even abandon, I'm not for one moment suggesting it wasn't tricky in a big way for a lot of people. If you had kids there, that's a difficult one to manage for obvious reasons. But in terms of it escalating into something bigger, it might have done at other grounds that it didn't with the Arsenal fan base. So I thought in general conducted themselves extremely well circumstances.
Suppose it's fair to say it might have happened, you know, had it been the other way around, there'll be Arsenal fans who make the case that they probably wouldn't have been treated in the same way that the Cologne fans were treated last night.
But I also think that the Cologne fans, you know, as visiting fans, some perspective and context is really necessary here. Yeah. This is a big club, very well supported club, but a club that has not enjoyed a lot of success in the last couple of decades. And, you know, to be in Europe for the first time in 25 years was an absolutely massive deal. And I think what went on in terms of the Cologne fan base is something that you can compare to. I mean, funnily enough, I was thinking about this a bit last night. It reminded me slightly of when Arsenal went to Copenhagen in 1994 and played against Parma in the Cup Winners' Cup final. Well, obviously, it's different. It's a final. It's neutral territory and so on. But there were absolutely, I don't know, 30, 40,000 Arsenal fans that travelled over for that match. Not everybody had tickets, although a lot managed to get into the ground one way or the other. And there was just this gigantic sort of, the word invasion was used a little bit last night. I'm not sure how much I approve of that specific term with its connotations, but you get the gist of it. It was just this kind of huge arrival of a massive bunch of people. And I don't live so far from the stadium. And even from around 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, there was a clearly very different vibe to pretty much any game I've ever seen since I was moved to the Emirates. There were just tons and tons and tons of Cologne fans around on sort of all sorts of street corners, just hanging about, been to the off license or whatever, having a drink, maybe trying to find something to eat, meeting up with their mates, just having that pre-match big European game vibe. And there was no negativity. There was no concerns that I noticed in the kind of mid-afternoon, just around about town. And then it kind of cranked up a bit around 6 o'clock when I headed down to the stadium. I thought I'd go a bit earlier than I normally would for a game. Obviously, most home fans tend not to arrive till maybe half an hour, 5 minutes before kickoff, or even later still to try and get entry into the ground. And I thought, oh, there's a lot of people around, I'll go a bit early. And trying to cross the Danny Fisman Bridge, which is obviously where the majority of fans would go because that's near their entrance. Suddenly, I got halfway across and then there was a police line and a crowd of about 50 deep of mostly Cologne fans stood there. Okay, this is different. Sort of wriggled my way through and got to the front and managed to talk my way into getting some access. But obviously the majority of people were still there.
Yeah.
And that clearly built that sort of, you know, if you It's annoying if you're standing there trying to get into a ground. It's 2 hours before kickoff, remember, or the original kickoff time.
Yeah.
So it's pretty early for that kind of crowd management stroke congestion situation to be building. And you just knew then that there was something unusual going on. It sounds like it turned into a really complicated situation to manage outside the ground from the point of view of what to do with all these fans, who had tickets, who didn't. Because, you know, by then you're talking about kind of a thousand fans or so, just all kind of standing shoulder to shoulder in a big sort of crowd. Like, how do you begin to establish on a walkway that's about the width of a motorway with a couple of lines of police, who has a ticket and who doesn't, even before you get to the turnstiles, or which end they should be in? Or it was tricky. And I have a lot of sympathy, not just for the fans, particularly the Arsenal fans who weren't expecting a situation like that, but also for the stewards and for the police and for the clubs and for UEFA, who quite quickly realised what we're going to do here. And this is where I think that again, the luck that it didn't escalate into something more difficult was really important. A, because perhaps different sets of fans, it might have really kicked off outside badly. B, I think somebody on high, and I don't know who it is, but I compliment them, took the executive decision, rightly or wrongly, and there will be an inquiry and everyone can argue the toss about the rights and wrongs and what happened and whether it will happen again. But somebody took the decision, it seemed, the Cologne fans go this way and the Arsenal fans go that way. And obviously that was a difficult one from the point of view of any Arsenal fan who had a ticket in the clock end. Whether it was lower tier, upper tier, or club level, or family enclosure. Because there were a few people that we heard from afterwards who had been in those areas who asked to move or moved of their own volition. And again, another stroke of luck. This was not it might have been a sellout game, but it was not a game with 60,000 people who wanted to come to the stadium.
Yeah.
Or it didn't look that way anyway. There were still a few empty seats. Now, if it was a massive game where you would expect everybody to come, and there's an extra 17,000 ticketless fans sort of loitering around outside, you've got a massive problem on your hands. But the fact that there was some natural movement that was achievable, so that they could sort of redirect the Cologne fans towards one end and Arsenal fans who wanted to be somewhere else could get themselves there, I think, if they needed to, allowed for the game to take place sort of relatively safely. And there were little pockets of, you know, the Cologne fans were all over the place, it seemed. And apart from the odd little moment where people got a bit provoked about whether or not they should be in that end or this end, I don't think there was any serious issues. And in the main, I think people kind of got on with it, which is again a bit of a credit to everybody. But I think it was really, you know, that decision, and it was a brave one, because had it gone wrong and you've got people in the wrong sections and what have you, again, you could have ended up with a really, really difficult situation. And we were lucky that nothing particularly materialised that was, you know, genuinely upsetting. Again, when you're analysing it all properly, and it will be, somebody else somewhere took the decision that the stewards do not have time to do the regular searches. And anybody who's gone to a game in the last sort of year or so at the Emirates will know there's quite big queues. You would expect to have your bag searched if you've got one, which lots of people do of an evening game. Mm. And you would expect to be patted down by someone sort of doing some sort of form of body search. And those things were not happening, because once the game had been delayed by an hour and they were trying to manage the crowd situation outside, it became apparent that if they wanted to try and create this 9:05 kickoff, they've got to get everyone in the ground. And they didn't have time. So again, apart from a few flares being lit, which is against the rules and there'll be a fine, it keeps in perspective, people, you know, nobody got hurt with the flares, or they didn't get at anybody or what have you. So in the end, it was a good game. Everybody more or less came through with no major disasters.
Yeah.
I think you go away, you learn from it, you think about what can be done better. You ask yourself whether in certain situations like this, maybe if a club like in that situation wants loads of tickets, perhaps you can, a bit like an FA Cup, allocate them. And it's a bit of a fag to redirect people who would normally be sitting in those seats, but it's better pre-organised if possible. I don't know what you do otherwise. Yeah. With a load of... The club admitted they knew, they'd had conversations, and they knew there were a lot of fans coming without tickets.
Yeah, they did. They did release a statement this morning, and they said that they ensured no tickets that were sold, no tickets were sold on general sale, and no red memberships that were purchased after the draw were able to get tickets in the home end for this match. So there was a lot of talk about how Cologne fans had registered as members and bought tickets that way. So it seems they might have cut off that avenue. That's what they've said in a statement this morning.
Yeah, they were saying that last night, and I must admit, looking around the ground, I found myself just mystified, thinking, if that didn't happen, how the hell did the sheer numbers of people get coming? Are there really that many touts?
Well, that's what they've said.
It just seemed totally illogical to me. And if there are that many touts, then bloody hell, somebody's making a lot of money.
Yeah. It raises questions about how tickets are being used, right? Or how fans, maybe Arsenal fans, are dealing with their tickets. That's what Arsenal said in their statement. Many tickets were sold through touts, and this is very disappointing. But of course, there are these, when we think of touts, we think of the dude outside the station, you know, with his coat and his tickets and, you know, anyone buying or selling tickets, that kind of guy. But, you know, there are other ways for touts to operate these days, online in particular. Some websites with a veneer of respectability are essentially just touts themselves. And that could be an avenue that the club have got to pursue as well.
I guess so. I mean, I don't know how they begin to start with that. But, I mean, obviously, when you have paper tickets in the old days, it was very straightforward. I've always felt that the introduction of these plastic sort of cards, where clearly if you're a season ticket, it was supposed to be 40 odd thousand season ticket holders. So by the looks of it, when you look at things, that some of those season tickets you assume would have fallen in the hands of Cologne fans. But, you know, maybe, I don't know, I and a bunch of my friends, you know, we know lots of people who have big groups of season tickets, and if somebody can't come, or a couple of people can't come, and obviously not everybody wants to go to Europa League, unfortunately, it's the way it is. You don't think, I'm a fan, I'm going to be there no matter who you play against or what the situation is. People have to juggle all sorts of things in their lives and pick and choose. But if somebody rang me up and said, my mate, I know a couple of people and they're Cologne fans, they'd really like to go to the game, like, you know, can they use your ticket if you're not going? And they're nice, respectable people that you probably know and trust. Would you'd probably say, yeah, all right, you know, give us the whatever, 20 quid for the game. Just don't be an idiot and go and have fun. I don't know, is that right or wrong? Who wants to be the moral arbiter of that? I think that it's great if people who want to go and see a football game can go and see a football game. Obviously, you want everybody to be safe and secure. Are we grown up enough that people can sit in different parts of the ground and not have a fight? You'd like to think so. You know, in Germany, culturally, it's a lot more acceptable to have unsegregated areas, so they're much more used to it than we are. There's a whole range of sub-questions and sub-texts and sub-layers that come into play, and I just think we all need to have a real good think about it and try and find sort of workable solutions.
No, I think you're right. I mean, but you're right. Culturally, it is different in Germany. And the way that football has been managed in England, in particular, since the Taylor Report and all-seater stadiums, there has been such a big emphasis on segregation and keeping fans away from each other. And in some ways, that's self-perpetuating. It creates that kind of culture where the idea of sharing any space with an opposition fan, whether they're in good spirits or not, is anathema to many people. And, you know, there are people who will try and cause trouble if they're in the wrong end. I think you're right to stress the element of luck that was involved in last night. I think there are big questions for everybody to answer. Arsenal, Cologne, the police. But I think overall, the way it was managed, they got away with it. And thankfully, there were no real incidents. But, you know, if it were a set of fans who weren't just there to be exuberant and enjoy their first European game for 25 years, who were actually making a concerted effort to go there and cause trouble. And we know that there are those elements at some football clubs, particularly in parts of Europe, then it might not have been as lucky, I guess, is the word I want to go for there. But certainly a lot for everybody to process. Should we talk about what happened on the pitch? I think we probably should. That would be decent. Because a very poor first half from Arsenal. I think in some ways a little bit unlucky to be behind, although there are questions to be asked over the first goal. But very much a tale of two halves. What Arsenal didn't do in the first half, they did a lot of in the second half. And for me, as I said in the blog this morning, I don't think there's any coincidence whatsoever that Arsenal's performance improved as soon as they went to a back four and put the extra man in midfield.
Yeah, absolutely. And having read your blogs and heard, you know, some of the podcasts and so on in recent weeks, I think yourself and James have been sort of singing the song that really anybody who watches Arsenal regularly must know the tune to by now, which is, oh my God, this midfield, what the hell is going on? I mean, I can't recall in the best part of about four decades watching Arsenal a midfield, like a regular midfield situation that is quite so so flat, so easily stretched, so quickly overrun. I just think it's such a massively crucial part of the pitch to try and get right. And when you look at the options available to Arsene Wenger and the squad that he has built for this season, it just doesn't look like a midfield that has the correct balance or fundamental power or kind of good tactical sense to command games, to dominate games. You've got to dominate a game from midfield sometimes, and if you can't dominate it, you've got to dig in and just hang on in there. And that's not really what Arsenal's current selection of midfielders is designed to do, it seems. And I think that, you know, with it's asking a lot of a player like Alex Iwobi, who's probably not everybody's idea of a central midfield player, and Elneny, who is a good squad player, but probably not everybody's idea of a top-class guy who's going to win you the league playing every week, to command central midfield. It's hard enough for Granit Xhaka and Aaron Ramsey, who have a lot more experience playing in that particular part of the pitch at a higher level for a longer time. So I don't know quite how Arsenal, for the longer term, deal with that. I did think that it was really, really noticeable when Jack Wilshere came on.
Yeah.
It was almost, oh yeah, this is good to see like someone in that position who really knows what it's all about and can put some personality, some strong personality into that part of the pitch, even though obviously Jack is still rusty and there will be concerns about his fitness and ability to sustain a good run of form until he can prove and get a good run in the side. So I think that's an area where I've still got big question marks. Going to the back four helped because Kolasinac and Bellerin in a more authentic position pushing up, it felt a bit more natural, the kind of support that they could give when they were able to be more like auxiliary midfielders. So there was a better balance there, but I think once that midfield area is sorted or is a bit better, it does give the whole team a better platform from which to attack with a little bit more ambition.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the overall performance in the second half was really positive. You know, the first half, there was a lot to be desired in the first half. And players, I just don't think players look comfortable or as comfortable as they should in that back three. And I do think the extra body in midfield really helps because there's more options for the men at the back. When they're looking to pass the ball, there were moments when Rob Holding had it and he didn't know what to do with it because there was nobody looking for the ball from him. Elneny was the same at times. And just having that extra body in there made a big difference. Alexis Sanchez, I guess that was in some ways the perfect summation of what Alexis Sanchez can be as a footballer. Frustrating, wasteful at times, and we know he is rusty and he's trying to find his touch again, but just capable of moments of outstanding brilliance. And that goal, that finish was just superb, because if you're a central defender and you're showing Alexis Sanchez away from goal, moving him back from the edge of the box, and he does what he did there, I mean, you'd be going mad trying to figure out how he did it. It was a brilliant goal.
Absolutely. And it was a funny one, because, you know, watching, especially in the first half, watching the game, and you couldn't help thinking, like, what's he thinking? What's going on in his head? And I think we've all seen enough of Alexis Sanchez to know that he just does seem that type, that whatever's going on the pitch, whether he's frustrated or whether he's on it or anywhere in between, he's kind of in his own little zone of football. You know, it's as if he just exists. It's like a little force field, and whatever else is going on is sometimes something else. He's a bit otherly, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Alexis. Is he thinking, what's going on? Like, I could be somewhere else, shall we say? And here I am, coming back into my own half to pick up the ball with, you know, Aisling Maitland-Niles looking for me and looking up and seeing if Theo Walcott might make a run. And it was all, you can imagine him thinking, I believe it's Thursday night, and I don't think he even thinks like that. And then he just, it was such a great moment of classic Sanchez in the second half. As soon as he started hunting that ball down, it was really wide. And he had quite a bit of distance to make up to even get to it. And I think most players probably would have given up and let the ball even go out of play before he even started to jink back towards goal. And the finish was just delicious. I think that anybody thought it was worth booing Alexis Sanchez, I'm not sure I quite get what all that's about. I don't think he did an awful lot wrong this summer. In fact, compared to a lot of people in his position, he was just generally pretty quiet, didn't really make a lot of noise. The sad tweet when he wasn't feeling very well in Chile was you can interpret that how you like, but that was probably the highlight stroke low light of the sort of, what's, you know, is Alexis Sanchez going to have the hump sort of scenario? And he's just got on with it. And Arsene Wenger knew, I think, with real confidence that he wasn't going to sulk or behave considerably differently, shall we say, than how he might normally. Because we all know he's got that in him where when the chips are down and he thinks that the team are not putting their weight, he'll let them know. And he'll have that long distance stare and go on his haunches. That's what he does. That's probably what he was doing when he was 7 years old. So the flip side of that is he's just a magnificent player. I mean, I think Arsenal are lucky to have him.
Yeah, I would agree. And obviously, if we need to do things this season, I think he's going to be a key part of that. Just very quickly looking ahead to Sunday in Stamford Bridge, it's a big game away from home at a big opponent, not long after the last big game away from home against a big opponent, which did not go particularly well. And Arsenal's record in these games, stretching back to that win over Manchester City a few seasons ago when we won 2-0 at their place, has not been particularly good either. Is this a game that Arsenal simply cannot afford to lose? I mean, I know we'd all love for us to go there and play them off the park and win the game, but to me it feels more like a game that we just can't afford to lose. We've got to get something from this game to try and answer some of those questions about our character and ability away from home.
Your question just sent me off on a massive tangent. As soon as you talked about that Man City away game, I just went, oh, Santi.
How wistful, the wistful longing for Santi Cazorla.
Pining for Sandy. Arsenal dare not lose. Yeah, but I think the flip side of that is that there's such little expectation. I mean, if Arsenal do lose, what are you going to be thinking?
Here we go again.
Yeah, but I mean, in some ways, it sounds absurd, but there's probably a tiny bit of pressure off. In that, I think expectancy is probably quite low of an away win. With logic, And even a draw, I think people would be really pleasantly surprised. So sometimes when you have those kind of quite low expectations, we know that Arsenal are a team where psychologically there's a lot of stuff that goes on in that team's head. It's quite difficult to process sometimes and seems to impact on their performances. You sometimes see them in good shape. Everything you think, oh, can they play like that? You know, this is a big one away from home. You know, the opposition are a bit missing this player or that player. I remember that game. Was it at Man United last year or the year before? Where United were really on the ropes a bit and missing players and quite inexperienced and sort of looking there for the taking. And Arsenal were on a little run of form, and you thought this could be, you know, this could be the one where they actually get that, you know, big confidence boosting away win. And it's like, it was dire. Arsenal just looked terrified, and you thought, what is going on in their heads? They just can't manage the weight of pressure that a big away game seems to sap them of. It's like some sort of kryptonite thing going on. It's really odd. But you kind of have to hope that sooner or later one day they can psychologically get their heads in the right space to not get too strung up with all the things that make them freeze sometimes and not play their natural game and not feel relaxed and get a bit tense in these sort of matches and make the kind of mistakes or that tend to get punished or waste the kind of chances that might make a difference. And yeah, sooner or later they've got to turn that around. And Arsene Wenger was, you know, obviously is asked about this kind of thing a lot, and you know, oh, is Chelsea a sort of bogey, whatever, this, that and the other. And although the away thing is the problem, but in fairness, he's right to point out, look, last season Arsenal beat Chelsea handsomely 3-0 at home.
Yeah.
Probably the best performance in a very long time. Won the FA Cup final with another terrific performance, full of steel and determination and resilience and all the qualities that you want to go and win a big away game. And in the Charity Shield, you know, hung on in there and came through on penalties. So if their positive thinking focuses on some of those things, maybe they can try and approach it and not have that same old story.
All right. Well, we'll see. It sounds like we're counting on the law of averages to get us a result this time. But we'll wait and see what happens on Sunday. Amy, as ever.
One day, Andrew.
Thank you, as ever. We'll talk to you soon.
Cheers, Andrew.
You know where to find Amy on Twitter, at AmyLawrence71. That is at AmyLawrence71. And thank you to her, as always. So we put Europa League behind us, and we've got to focus on Premier League this weekend. It is another big game at a big club away from home, and our record, of course, is not particularly great. It's a game from which we have got to get something. We've got to put that record right. We've got to correct it in some small way, even if it is just a point. And I say just in inverted commas because I agree with Amy. If we were to lose, people wouldn't be surprised. They'd just say, well, there you go. That's what Arsenal do in these big games away from home. They lose. But I think we have to get something to try and recalibrate our mentality, our character in these games, and show that we can do it. It's not as if these players can't get results against Chelsea. They beat them 3-0 at the Emirates last season. They won the FA Cup final in May. They won the Community Shield. Of course, it was 1-1 after 90 minutes. There'll be no penalty shootout, but I would take a 1-1 at this point. Stamford Bridge is a different thing, of course. We haven't won there since 2011, that crazy 5-3 game with Andre Santos scoring a goal and John Terry slipping over and all kinds of other things going on. So that's a long time. Last season was not a good result there. 3-1 we went down. Eden Hazard scoring one of the most overrated Premier League goals of all time. People raving about it like it was some kind of Maradona versus England run, when in fact it was absolutely shite defending from Arsenal. First and foremost, it was shit defending rather than great skill from Hazard. Marcus Alonso also knocked Hector Bellerin unconscious with a flying elbow, and nobody seemed to give a shit. They said Bellerin was too soft, that Alonso wanted it more. It wasn't a good day. It wasn't a good result. It wasn't a good performance. And it was another one of those days when things did not go right for us in a big game away from home. We've got to put that right this weekend. We've got to do something to correct this run that we're on. I don't necessarily expect us to win, but I think there are enough players with the quality to get us a draw there. It all depends on how we set up. I really hope it's a back four. I hope it's three in midfield to offset the weakness that we have in there. Because even last weekend against Bournemouth with Xhaka and Ramsey in the centre of midfield, there were these enormous spaces left behind that a better team, a team better at defending and a team better at moving the ball quickly out of their defensive areas, would absolutely expose. And Chelsea are one of those teams. That if you see a move break down and all of a sudden the ball comes to Fabregas in all that space and he's got Hazard and he's got Morata and Willian and whoever the fuck else ahead of him, chances are you're going to get punished. So I really think we need to move that extra man into midfield. If we do, I think we'll be a bit more secure defensively. Not 100%, but I just think the players are more comfortable with four at the back. I think it suits the players that we have better. And the midfield issue in particular is one that can only be solved by an extra body, because it's clear we're not doing it through instruction or through coaching or what players are being asked or directed to do during games. So if we go with a three at the back and if we have Xhaka and Ramsey in midfield, I've got some real worries about the way that this game will end up. But hopefully we can come away with a point. We need at least a point from this game. After Anfield, we've got to show that we can learn. We've got to show that we've got more about us in these games away from home, that it isn't just a psychological disorder at this point, that we've got the character and the stones and the ability to deal with it. Of course, we'll find out soon enough. We'll find out on Sunday, lunchtime kickoff there. And I'll keep everything crossed in the meantime. I'm going to leave it here, though. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. James and I will be here on Monday with an Arscast Extra. We will discuss everything that happens at Stamford Bridge. I don't think there's any midweek football next week, as far as I'm aware. And then, of course, we've got a free weekend because it is a Monday night fixture the week after, which is, of course, a pain in the hole. But there you go. What can we do? But get on with it. Those are the cards and fixtures we have been dealt. So, look, have a great weekend, everyone. Let's keep everything crossed for Sunday that we can get something from this Chelsea game, and I'll chat to you next week. Thank you as ever. Cheers. Bye bye.
Deceptively large. It's the new cologne from Cologne. It will open the turnstiles to your mind. Comes in a 300 milliliter bottle, which actually contains 3000 milliliters. Cologne by Cologne. It's Cologne.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.